Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
In the past, I've talked about the dangers of over-socialization. This is a problem that I see increasingly. In a typical scenario, some well-intentioned but naive folks adopt a puppy from a shelter or a rescue group, and the puppy has been taken away from the mother, wormed, vaccinated, spayed, or neutered, sometimes thrown into a transport system, and is up for adoption by 8 weeks of age. When they adopt the puppy, another kind-hearted but equally naive person tells them to be sure to socialize that animal. This often repeated process arises from studies that began way back in the 40s by two psychologists by the name of Scott and Fuller. Eventually, they put their research together in a book that was published in 1965. If you go back and read Scott and Fuller now, it's like reading the work of B.F. Skinner. It's horrifying. In the Scott and Fuller studies, the puppies and their moms were confined to nurseries with nothing more for enrichment than a chunk of old tire and a bench that the researchers admitted the puppies spent most of their time hiding under. The only time they left the nursery room until they were 16 weeks of age was when they went with people for various experiments. Scott and Fuller then labeled those puppies in terms of their social nature, intelligence, and a lot of other parameters. But like Skinner, Scott and Fuller were focused merely on the human effect on the animals. Just as B.F. Skinner didn't care about how animals naturally would learn and was more interested in quick and easy ways for humans to make animals do what they wanted them to do, Scott and Fuller were focused on the effect humans had on puppies' social development. They zeroed the bitches out of the process. It was all about humans, and even then, a very limited number of humans who interacted with these dogs. Out of this came this belief that if we didn't expose puppies to everything possible as soon as possible, they were going to have problems. If you compare the stimulus level of the environments in which the average rescue puppies spend the majority of their time to those that occurred in Scott and Fuller's laboratory, you might as well be talking about two different planets. Typically, the pattern I see in these animals who have come from chaotic and sometimes abusive backgrounds is that they don't need more stimulation. Sadly for them, and sadly for some of their adopters, a lot of times these puppies can deal initially. When their owners take them out to shopping malls and introduce them to all their friends and involve them in puppy play groups and take them to classes and maybe even daycare, they handle it. And in fact, some of them do pretty well. Then they hit adolescence, or then they hit a year of age, and all of a sudden their behavior goes down the toilet. They hit the wall. They can't cope anymore. Some of them break sooner, but they break in the medical realm. Because they're stressed, it undermines their immune response, and they're great candidates for things like demodectic mange or skin infections, chronic, recurring skin and ear infections. That just leads to more novel stimulation, more interaction with reactive people, and a faster slide into a downward spiral. We talk about the dangers of over-vaccination. We talk about the dangers of spay and neuter. And yet, so often, much of what occurs in behavior, it's as if it's written in stone. I'm not going to try to change anybody's mind. I see what I see, and I try to reverse the damage done as best I can. But I would ask those of you who automatically say that all puppies need as much socialization as possible, stop and think about it. Think about where these puppies came from. There's a difference between a puppy who comes from an environment where he or she had nothing, and a puppy who comes from an environment that had stimulation of a kind and magnitude that we can't even begin to imagine. Those are two different issues, and they require two different kinds of handling. Taking a one-size-fits-all approach to the problem isn't going to help either group.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.